Back inside Radio Row, final day, day number five, and now joining us in the Phoenix Convention Center. Played for the Eagles, played for the Chiefs, is an Andy Reid guy, of course, and that is former NFL wide receiver Jason Avant. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great, Zach. Great to see you, buddy.
Well, good to see you, too, and I appreciate you coming on. So I've had on Dawkins, I've had on Donovan McNabb this week, and I've asked them this question.
Well, I'm the best-looking guy out of all of those guys, right? So that's one thing. So you guys are upgrading here.
I can't really argue on that one. I think you're right. Then who's two and who's three in your mind?
Donovan's last, whatever it is.
No, if he was still throwing you the football, he'd be the best-looking person in the world.
He'd be the best-looking person in the history of people.
So when you go into this entire – like outlook of the game, it's obviously Andy Reid going up against the Eagles. Is this weird for you with Andy coaching against the Birds?
It's definitely weird because I want the Eagles to win 100%, right? But I don't want the national narrative to be that Andy can't win the big game. And usually if you lose a Super Bowl again for Andy, it's you know what, one in three in the Super Bowl or 1-2 in the Super Bowl. So I don't want that narrative for him. But I want to see the Eagles win a little bit more. So I guess I'm conflicted a little bit.
It's weird to me because when you look at Andy Reid's legacy, and I'm glad you brought it up, for years it was, can he just win one?
Yeah.
And then he wins that one Super Bowl. So for someone like me, who I called him a very, very, very good coach before that, then you put him in that great category. We know he's going to the Hall of Fame. So this just adds on, I think, for him because – if he wins this one, that throws him in a different kind of category up the ladder.
Yeah, it throws him – it would be the greatest win of his career for sure. Just because, you're starting five rookies on the defensive side of the ball. You have one returning receiver. That's Mecole Hardman from last year. You have a totally makeshift, mismatched team. The only two stalwarts on your team is Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. So when you look at that dynamic, I believe that this would be, and especially with the Eagles roster, every GM will tell you, every scout will tell you that this is the best roster from top down. So you're going into this game as the underdog with rookies playing and with new receivers. For him to win this game would be one of the best coaching jobs in his career, and one that we've seen, you know, in the last 10, 15 years for sure, because this Eagles team is definitely a better football team.
I agree with you on that, but it would be disappointing. And I don't know how much longer Andy Reid's going to coach for. Like, let's just say he coaches five more years. Probably, you know, could be more than that.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't get another Super Bowl in the next 5 years – yes, he's going to Hall of Fame, but you're right. There will be a little disappointment there.
There will be some.
Especially with Mahomes.
Yes, it would be some hating there. And I just don't think that he gets enough credit because the NFL, when you look at the NFL and you look at offenses, you see teams for years steal all of Andy Reid's concepts. Mm-hmm. They take his coaches every year.
Yeah.
Like, he has a
good coaching tree
because he allowed coaches to coach. He allows creative people to be creative people. And unlike most coaches, I've played for a bunch of coaches. Usually it goes like this. This is my system. You have to fit into my system. I don't want much deviation from my system because my system works. Coach Reid looks at it from a totally different perspective. He understands his system, understand what guys can do what, but if you find yourself to be one of those qualified special guys, he will allow you to be creative. So this is where I need you to be. It's up to you and your creativity to get to point A and point B, and I'm allowing you to be a creative artist. That's why Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have such a great connection, because they're able to play off time and off schedule, and Coach Reid is okay with it. Most offensive coordinators will hate their guts and hate their life dealing with players like that, but he allows them to be special. And that's part of what makes his mystique and his coaching career legendary, is because he not only comes up with great schemes, but he allows players to be themselves and be creative.
The Andy Reid you saw in Philadelphia compared to in your final few years in the NFL, when you saw him in Kansas City, was there a different person at all? Different coach?
Totally different. Totally different. So 2006 is when I was drafted to the Philadelphia Eagles. During that time, Coach Reed was more in a general manager overseer head coach role because Tom Heckert and it was coming, you know, health problems and how he was being instituted was a bunch. So he was more helping out the general managing side of the team, transactions and that part of it, right? So I've never seen him really install anything or go over plays that much because he was just overseeing in Philadelphia. When I got to be with him in Kansas City, he was in a Tommy Bahama shirt, relaxed, chilling, going every day into the film room and installing every game plan and coaching. He left the general managing up to John Dorsey at that time and then Brett Veach. He doesn't want any part of that. He just wants to coach. Therefore, you can see his growth and development with Patrick Mahomes because he's doing that. He did that with Brett Favre. He's a quarterback coach, right? So he's been doing it for years, and now he's doing that. He's happier being that. He's happier being creative and being an offense coordinator. So that's the difference between Philadelphia, Andy, and the Andy of today.
I love Philadelphia, and sometimes I think too much gets made out of the fans. But when you're in the Northeast, you know the media pressure, you know the fan pressure. I think going to Kansas City kind of took a little pressure off of Andy Reid, where a little bit more uptight and stressed out in Philadelphia, where you go to Kansas City, you're right. Yeah. He's got the Bahama shirts on. He's talking about all the cheeseburgers that he eats. It does seem he's at a little bit more stress-free, let's say, in Kansas City.
Yeah,
also helps when you have Mahomes.
Yeah,
you know.
The standard is different, mm-hmm. right? When you're in the Northeast, right? So that region has what I want to say maybe 5 out of the top 6 most grossing NFL teams,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of those teams around you have fans – that have won Super Bowls. So there's a lot of pressure for the Eagles fans. Like, dude, the Commanders have won Super Bowls. The Patriots have won Super Bowls. The Giants have won. Our rivals down, you know, South has won multiple Super Bowls. And Cowboys, yeah. right?
So hold on. The Cowboys.
What I'm saying.
In my lifetime, they've been drama Dallas choking Cowboys.
They
can't beat anyone in a big spot.
But I'm just saying they have. But in previous years, 30 years ago. Historically, right? So there's a lot of pressure from a lot of people in order to win. And then you take them to the precipice multiple times, and then you lose in heartbreaking fashion. So you take all of that burden off in Kansas City. They were so bad. They were just happy to get a good coach. And it's just the Midwest is more laid back. So, yes, it's definitely less pressure. And then you get the golden child and Patrick Mahomes. Here's the interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
From me breaking down every one of Coach Reed's games, and this is real thing. Before I talk about the game, I watched the game 3 times. One TV version, one condensed copy, one coach's tape, right? I talk about the game. Andy Reid runs the same exact offense of when I played for the Eagles. It's the same offense. And people think it's like new and it's different. It's the same stuff. There's a few different wrinkles because of some players, but it's the same offense. The difference is that the quarterback can see more. And he's able to get to things that Coach Reed always talked about getting to because he's just a superior talent when it comes to the feel of the game, knowing when an alert is at an all-time, like alert in football terms is, this is not really a part of the play, but if something is going to break down, it's an alert to this backside post. Patrick Mahomes just has the feel of knowing when these things should be. And he has an instinctive, very second, like, level movement. If something breaks down, he doesn't panic. He does this. You put that guy in that spot, it's an easy life for Andy Reid. And that's the difference. That guy makes it a lot easier for every coach.
Jason Avant here with us. So when I look at this game, I don't think the Eagles are a disrespected team. But I think their defense is disrespected. Going into the 49ers game, no one's talking about the Eagles' defense. Everyone's talking about the 49ers' defense. This is a defense that has 70 sacks in the regular season. It's the most in the league by 15, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
This matchup, to me, really comes down to the Eagles' defensive line up against the Chiefs' offensive line. Because we saw in the Super Bowl a few years ago, and I know left tackle, right tackle was out for Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But that Eagles defensive line, if they win this game, it's going to be the biggest reason.
Ooh, yes. I think that there'll be a really big reason. Orlando Brown and Wiley, the two tackles for Kansas City, are definitely having troubles. Their turnstiles a bunch of the times. And the Bengals kind of exposed that. So I believe that they definitely have some weaknesses. The problem is you give 2 weeks to Coach Reed to try to shore it up and to come up with schemes to kind of combat that. But, yes, you know what? The Eagles' defensive line and defense, they do get disrespected. And you see it in a way. People think that it was just an unfortunate incident that Brock Purdy was hurt. It wasn't it was unfortunate, but it wasn't luck. It wasn't a happenstance.
Block Hassan Reddick. Have your quarterback.
Here's the thing. You go into the game plan, and you say that I can block Hassan Reddick with the backup tight end.
Yeah, that's stupid.
That's dumb. A couple plays before that, you have him blocked by Kyle Juszczyk, which is the fullback.
Yeah.
Couple plays after that, you go get with Kittle and Juwan Jennings and get Johnson for his first bang up because he before the concussion that took him out of the game, he had one prior to that, head hit the ground and he was dazed. They didn't catch it, but it was Hassan Reddick, right? So, like, they are disrespected in some of the schemes that people come up with them against their defense. And I think that, yes, it's going to be a huge part of why the Eagles will win this football game.
You, using your player glasses here, Jason Avant, what do you like about Nick Sirianni as a head football coach?
I think that he's extremely upbeat. I think he has extreme confidence in his team. And he doesn't throw people under the bus. And he allows players to be themselves. He's okay with that. He's okay with, like, some demonstrative and somewhat, sketchy, you know, comments and conversations. He wants guys to be themselves. So I think he works at it. He's built a rapport outside of just football. Because if you ever notice that he always has a player shirt on, he's showing up to their charity events, he's making it, I hate the word family because it's a business. It's not family. But what I will say is
that – a little college feel.
Yeah, he's making it more – he's making more of a connection with each player. And it's becoming more than football for a lot of these guys. And I think that he's caused these guys to believe in that.
And let me be clear when I say college feel. That's not being disrespectful or anything. But I think that is now the modern-day coach where it's not rah-rah like college. It's not drill sergeant as well like college where it's my way or the highway because we are talking about adults here in the NFL. But I feel like the people skills of college coaches are sometimes better than NFL head coaches.
Yeah.
And not that college coaches make great NFL head coaches, but you see a guy like Nick Sirianni, I would envision more like a college coach, but he's doing that in the NFL where he's having a lot of success.
Yeah, it's about and the NFL and any position of leadership, you have to have some charisma and you have to have people skills.
Yeah.
And I think that he does a great job of having emotional intelligence to connect with certain guys, know what their things that make them play better and not. He's always fired up. He's always positive. He believes in it. And he's put together a damn good coaching staff. And when you have the general manager basically of the year, the executive of the year, and Howie this year putting together this team, they've literally capitalized on every right move that you could in an NFL season in order to be successful. So I think it's a lot of things aiding Nick Sirianni, but definitely those are some things that's making him successful.
You did sidelines for Michigan this year?
Sideline radio and color for University of Michigan, yeah, this year.
Now we're talking. So yeah. I've kind of been adopted by the Michigan fan base because my two best friends attended Michigan.
Oh, nice.
So I've been to countless games in the Big House. This year I took the extra step, got the Michigan sweatshirt
on.
Oh,
nice.
Got the throwback Leroy Hoare jersey as well.
Oh, look at this, yeah.
So I've become a Michigan football fan. A little difficult now because I'm a Matt Rule guy. He's going to Nebraska, but it's not in the same division. So
yeah.
I could kind of still root for Michigan, also double dip with Nebraska. Hopefully my Temple Owls get moving back in the right direction. I like Stan Drayden, but that Michigan season up until
the
TCU,
last, yeah.
Some bad coaching there up against TCU, how long it took him to run the ball with McCarthy, horrible start in the game, just run the ball at the one-yard line, not do with the whole fumble and everything, but it was a bad ending. I'm just curious because they got a lot of guys back.
Yeah,
like that's,
they do.
It's a,
the whole offense,
I love Blake Corum. And you get Edwards back. You know, McCarthy's obviously back as the quarterback.
A lot of the offensive linemen are coming back.
Are they going to take the next step, though? Now they've beat Ohio State twice. They won the Big Ten twice. Will they take that next step and get into a national championship game, maybe winning it with Harbaugh?
I'm going to make a correlation for you that will make sense for most people.
Yeah.
Remember Nick Saban at LSU? Remember Nick Saban at the start of Alabama?
Yeah.
Nick Saban was so afraid to open it up that he would get into these games where Alabama will win 13-6 or 20-15 or whatever it is. And they were always in that situation. Michigan has the same problem. Michigan has this problem. They can dominate these inferior teams with just smash mouth football, but that doesn't correlate to the college football playoffs where there's teams that's going to open it up and score points.
Yeah.
Until they can play the game in a versatile way, they're going to always find themselves in this situation where they can game plan against Ohio State and come up with some creative schemes in order to beat them, because they start watching film on Ohio State, you know, starting now. Which ways can we, you know, play this game? They have guys assigned to that game starting now in order to come up with a game plan. They work on it each week throughout the entire year. So what I'm saying is that they're going to have to open it up and get some better receivers and talent and be able to open it up for the college football playoff in order to take that step forward.
You got to take my buddy Josh to a Michigan game.
Now he
can
come whenever he wants.
You got to get him a little Zingerman's sandwich at the deli. Josh would like the Zingerman sandwich.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. So before we let you run, are you surprised, Jason Avant, that Harbaugh is back? Because it seems like the last 2 years he's trying to leave. But then he winds back up at Michigan.
You know, it's a hard place. It's a hard place to leave because they have all the resources, you know, and they can pay him whatever he wants to get paid.
Yeah.
And you've had success. You've beat Ohio State multiple times now. The only thing that Harbaugh is looking at, it's a tough college game now with the NIL. You got to kiss this 15, 16-year-old kid's butt that haven't done squat. And he wants $100,000 or he's not coming to your school. And some of the good ones, the kid from Florida that ended up transferring, $13 million that the kid wanted. Right? It's just asinine that you have to do all of this stuff. So the good coaches are like, dude, this is the last thing I want to do is to be in someone's kitchen telling them how great he is for every year of his life. Usually back in the day, once they got you had to stay. But now
you have to kiss
their butt every year and come up with more money and more money. It's a nightmare for him. And you have the salary cap, easier system, 53-man roster. It's a lot easier to be an NFL coach.
Going back to something you said two answers ago, you said inferior teams when Michigan goes up against them. One of those teams are Penn State. My producer over there, Hot Take Hickey, is a big Penn State fan. Man, he gets delusional every year with this. He's already thinking they're going to be in the college football playoff next season. I know they got a good team, but let's not say anything positive about Penn State. This is no Penn State propaganda allowed on the Zach Gold Show.
Okay.
No more of that. We cannot stand Penn State here.
Look, I can't say anything about it. James Franklin, good recruiter. I don't know about coaching.
He can't coach the big game. Who's the more overrated coach, Jimbo Fisher or James Franklin?
Jimbo Fisher.
But Jimbo at least has a natty.
You see who's on that team?
I get it.
That was a great team.
Do you see who's on Franklin's team this year?
I know, but it's not every first round. It's not Jalen. It's a bunch of guys on that team.
There's many things I'm logical about when it comes to Penn State. No logic for me. So tell us what you're doing. Great show on Inside the Birds.
Yeah, Inside the Birds. We have that show, Inside the Birds platform, YouTube channel.
They had a good guest on this week.
They've had a lot of them over time.
Yeah,
there you go. There you go. And I do a show on there as well called Q&A Podcast. Me and one of my teammates, Quentin Michael, both of us had to understand football at a high level in order to stay in the National Football League. So it's a great breakdown segment for a lot of the fans that want in-depth knowledge. Also, I do the Birds Huddle on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Run a business called Launch Trampoline Park if you're in the South Jersey area in Deptford, New Jersey. We do rock climbing, laser tag, slam ball, arcade, full cafe, corporate events. We do pretty much everything in there, right? Trampolines, interactive games where you can be inside a video game and jump on trampolines.
Wow.
All types of things we do. Dodgeball, I'll hit your kid in the face for you, give him some discipline.
Especially
legally.
If he's wearing a Penn State shirt. Well, anyway, good to see you. Thanks so much for doing this.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Matt. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.